All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
So what is it tonight? It's not a Samoa.
Listen to the music. Listen to the music. And you'll figure it out.
It's that Jew bread, ain't it?
Wow. That's incredibly anti-Semitic of you.
No, come on. It's the matzah.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 52, Passover.
What happened to episode 52-1 or happy birthday or we're getting too old for this shit?
We should probably do one of those other ones because Passover is kind of boring. Tonight's crackery substance of the show is the Manischewitz Passover matzahs. They're sodium free and they are certified kosher.
Well, I guess since we're talking about this week's cookie, official cookie of the show.
Wait a minute.
We do have a correction. Wait.
Slow down.
Speed up.
Because it's not just the matzah.
Oh, of course not.
Because matzahs taste like cardboard if you eat them plain.
It's true.
We are using to enhance tonight. Fantastic
like
and I.
Sun-dried
because
tomato?
We put something Jewish near you and I don't know, all of a sudden you started marching around like you had jack boots on. Fantastic and I have decided to enhance our matzah with Tribe, America's favorite hummus, the classic all-natural hummus.
From Tribe Called Quest, is that?
Fantastic.
Totally not Jewish.
I know. It's kind of like, what we're doing is kind of solving that whole Mideast thing. Because we have the Jewish matzah, and we have the Middle Eastern
hummus,
and Fantastic and I, doing our part for world peace, are putting them together this evening.
Look to the matzah, Elaine.
In celebration of this Passover season. That's what we're doing.
That's
what
wonderful.
Are you doing?
Not eating matzah. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I gave up matzah for Lent.
Did you? Hysterical.
But
what was this about a correction?
We have a correction in regards to last week's tasty treat that you started off the show so rudely chewing, as per usual. It was not a sugar-free graham cracker. It was a low-fat graham cracker.
That's true. I did make that mistake. It was actually the honey-made, low-fat cinnamon graham cracker is what it was.
So.
One little mistake.
Yeah. And I made a mistake, too, so.
Wow, really?
Yeah, when we were talking about that.
Was the mistake that you should have believed me when I said that you backed up Fantastic on that whole Dan Juergens thing?
No.
Oh, I see.
No, that's never a mistake.
I guess.
Doubting you, always the right thing.
I guess
if it turns out the other way first, perfect.
I guess the three clips of you completely backing him up that we played in the show last week, not good enough to convince you.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Peter Parker, as you so gracefully pointed out to me, it was not his bike, it was his scooter.
That's right.
So,
his bike. Like he's 10.
Like that he looks 10.
Asteroid landed behind his tricycle.
His big wheel. Now, that would have been funny.
That's not a bike.
I know, but it's, you know, it's like a tricycle. It's kind of a bike. It's a small bike.
Tricycle's not really a bike either.
So, the Mummy 3.
Okay, I guess we're going right on.
We got to leave this ship behind.
It is our anniversary show.
Oh, it is our anniversary show.
We should give ourselves a round of applause. I think that's enough.
We were supposed to have some guests in studio tonight, and mostly none of them showed up. So
it's not even that they didn't show up. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, do we want to do a big birthday thing? And it's kind of like, no.
No, actually, it was kind of like, yeah, we do, but nobody showed up. So we're not going to instead.
Is that how it is?
I'm just trying to be real. I'm keeping it real 1 year in.
It's not the way that it will come out in the edit.
I'm sure it's not.
No, but, you know, what are we going to say? I don't feel any older today than I did last week.
You haven't aged in like 11 or 12 years since I've known you.
Is that an insult?
No, not really.
Dick Clark hasn't aged in that long and longer.
Yeah, well, half of his face is aged now.
Oh, he's saying that you're young at heart.
Is that what he's saying? I don't think that's what he's saying, Fantastic.
What is he saying then?
I think he's saying I'm regressed.
Wow. Wow, see, I'm not even saying the bad stuff.
This
the
is
stuff
what
they
happens.
Can't hear is...
This is what happens when you let the help up from the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive to enjoy the festivities. And I'm going to say, okay, Pablo and crew hit the deck back in the cellar.
Pablo?
Back into the archive.
Is it Pablo?
Well,
Pablo.
Well,
or was
well,
it Paco?
Is
no,
still...
hey, we can't,
you know,
can't bring up Paco.
Yeah.
Pablo, however, who is in charge of the archive.
Right.
We said Pablo could bring up some of his more worthy co-workers.
Sure.
And that they could enjoy some of the festivities tonight on the anniversary show, including the cake.
Ooh,
and the
cake.
The beverages and refreshments.
See, I'm saving room for cake. I don't want to fill up on matzah.
Mm-hmm. And already they're piping up and they're disruptive and so on. So I think back down to the archive they go.
Back into the darkness.
Take a piece of cake with you when you go. And there they go, back down to the archive.
So is this the part where I move on now?
If you wish.
Please.
Well, the fro has spoken, so I should listen.
Yeah, can we address that before we go on? Mr. Frotastic, I have never seen you with bigger hair. And I knew you maybe in the late 80s. Early 90s in your IROC years, or the wish you had a IROC years.
Well, you know, one half is Nabladon.
Nabladon.
But the other half
is black.
Is Sicilian.
Because.
Well, yeah.
Wow. Holy cow. You should have a pick sticking out of that. So you can, you know, you can pick it out a little and it won't get all nappy like it is right now. Holy cow.
You know, the last time we went down this road, it ended up with a terrible bit that started. And I don't want to go there.
Oh,
again,
I want to slow you down right there. Happened to speak to somebody. Mm-hmm. Who listens to the show
uh-huh.
at his workplace.
Uh-huh.
And this person and all of the crew at this workplace, they all listen to the show.
Right. Wow.
And they listen to it while they're working. You
Excellent.
Know, and they try to do like the current episode, then they kind of try to get some of the older episodes mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And they really appreciate me. And
well, that's good. I'm glad.
And then they also wanted to let me know they really liked the what you call it bit.
Soul Glow. Just like your soul, baby. Feeling oh so silky smooth. Just let it shine through. Just like your soul glow. Soul Glow. Exactly.
Exactly. So there it is.
We got a couple other emails, too, from people who really enjoyed that bit.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we did.
Oh,
it went over well.
Because you disparaged it 5 seconds ago and said it was an awful bit. Yet it would seem the audience
you know what?
Liked the bit.
I thought the first time it was very funny. I think it was the third time that it got a little old. But anyway, speaking of old, 1 year old, episode 52.
I guess we should do an episode.
Yeah, mate. Mummies are old.
Oh, nice tie-in.
And the Mummy 3 is in the news this week.
Mummy 3?
Yes, the Mummy 3.
Well, I guess Scorpion King wouldn't really be considered Mummy 3.
No, that was kind of a spin-off-y type
right.
movie. So apparently, Mummy 3 movie is in production with potentially Jet Li playing the role of the mummy. Kung Fu Mummy, apparently.
Okay. Brandon, what's his name? No.
No, it is their kid. This is supposed to take place way past The Mummy 2. And their child is now an adventurer type, and he fights the Jet Li mummy.
And have they talked about who's going to play the child?
No.
Because I was going to say Leonardo DiCaprio.
Ooh.
Of course you were going to say Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm sure he's going to opt out of the next Scorsese movie to do fucking Mummy 3, you idiot.
Eek. He's got nice hair, though, huh?
Yeah, huh? And abs. Did we talk about the abs yet?
I never saw his abs.
Yeah, but you're looking hard. You'll find it. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
What's eating Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah, exactly.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wow. That's dirty.
It's the anniversary. I'm not pulling any punches
No
today.
Punches tonight? Nice. So we are fans of heroes here at Geek Stuff. Well, I've seen all the episodes. I know you've seen all the episodes. Fantastic is not seen all the
woefully,
episodes. Woefully behind.
Yeah.
But for those of us that are fans, we can appreciate the fact that at NBC.com this past week and next week, they will be auctioning off some of the artwork that you've seen in the film. Some of Isaac's little paintings. The Exploding Man, The Eclipse, Hero versus the T-Rex.
And Save the Cheerleader.
And Save the Cheerleader, the one with her on the steps with the...
With the shadowy thing over. Yeah. Now, is it the original artwork? Because my understanding is that it's not the original artwork, that it's actually prints.
Okay. What I read was that it was an auction of the original artwork to be auctioned off the prints by Tim Sale to
the
benefit...
The prints by Tim Sale.
Right. Limited edition prints by Tim Sale, yeah. So I guess they are not
unless
they're
doing
not
both.
Originals. Maybe
they're doing the original, and you could also get some prints
at a more reasonable price if you want one for your collection.
Yeah, I think there's actually I don't like Exploding Man, but the other three I kind of dig.
Yeah, Hero versus the T-Rex. I think that's the pinnacle piece.
I like the Cheerleader on the Steps one too.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice piece too. Yeah, so
there are other ones too that I don't understand. Maybe they're just kind of trying to spread them out a little bit.
Well, you know what? It's going to the National Epilepsy Foundation. So my guess is that maybe they're going to, maybe in another couple months they'll pick another charity or something like that NBC works with, and they'll do them then.
Okay.
So it looks like the Green Hornet finally going to make its way to the movie screen.
Wow! Really?
Yep. Legendary fighter Green Hornet. Set to have his very own feature film.
Directed by Kevin Smith.
Not so much. Produced by Neil Moritz for Columbia Pictures.
Let me guess. It's Eddie Griffin as the Green Hornet.
Wow. Undercover Hornet?
Well, do we know anything else?
We do not. No, it's really early on. I mean, there's no firm script. There's no casting. Columbia Pictures has optioned the rights.
Okay,
and they're going to develop it.
All right, so it's really nowhere.
Well, I think the fact that Columbia is pushing it out there more solidly than it was in the past, I think is a pretty good indication that it'll be made. And I see no reason why they wouldn't go forward with it. Comic book movies comic booky, geeky, superhero-y type movies having as much
impact
as they have in recent history. You know, certainly it would seem appropriate now.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, as we know, Captain America is dead.
Aw.
And, of course, Marvel will take this opportunity, no doubt, to spread the joy of his death throughout 40 or 50 or 60 tie-in books.
Nice.
Before we move on to World War Hulk.
Oh, God, please don't remind me.
Of course, everyone is wondering, first and foremost, is who is going to be the next Cap? Because while Steve Rogers, the original Captain America, is dead... Obviously, they're not going to let the character of Captain America die.
Right.
So it's going to be who picks up the mantle.
I vote for Red Skull.
He's deadish, I think.
Just going for a Nazi joke.
How appropriate for you. And the obvious choices are the Winter Soldier, who was,
Bucky.
Of course, Bucky. And they're also talking about maybe the Punisher.
What?
Because the Punisher held Steve Rogers' mask, and there's some story about Punisher War Journal number 7 that's coming out that has an intriguing variant cover, but they're not saying exactly what that means. And of course, there's other people also, you know, like the Falcon, right? Like Black Cap, that'll happen. And in addition to Falcon, there's also speculation about Hawkeye and U.S. Agent, and even a couple of women's names like Sharon Carter, Jessica Jones. These are all characters that appear frequently throughout the Marvel Universe,
right,
in either Avengers or in Cap's own book, or members of S.H.I.E.L.D. like Clay Quartermain, who is a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
mm-hmm.
There's even a wild speculation that somehow Iron Man, Tony Dude. Stark, will have something to do with this as well. So
ew.
The Iron Captain Iron Man, I don't...
Well, it'll give him an opportunity to have some new armor. He hasn't had red, white, and blue striped armor yet, has
Not
he?
Not yet. But yeah, that could be coming. They're also talking about the Captain America book that's going to... of course, they have to do something that discusses the ripple effect
of course.
Captain America's death throughout the Marvel Universe. And this is going to be called Fallen Son, The Death of Captain America. And it will talk about the 5 stages of death.
Okay. Which is?
Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Oh. So it's going to be a 5-part miniseries. You'll never believe what the first one's going to be called. Denial. That's right.
Sounds like he's trying to wean himself off alcohol.
And it will feature the first book. They will each feature one character, more or less, and how that character is dealing with Cap's death. Denial will be Wolverine.
What?
The Avengers will represent anger.
Of course.
And Captain America will represent bargaining. So what does that mean? We don't know, and neither does Marvel, I suspect. Spider-Man will do depression.
That's about right.
Because everything. And Iron Man will represent acceptance. So
okay.
The only one that really seems exciting here to me is Wolverine, because Logan is always the kind of like, bullshit.
Right,
you know,
right.
That didn't happen. I don't believe it. Blah, 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 blah. That one kind of makes... The rest of them are kind of like, how can we kind of... square peg in a round hole, this story.
Right.
So, and maybe Spider-Man too, a little bit kind of works, but because his whole, everything about him is based on guilt. So,
yeah, so.
And he had part to do with Civil War and.
Sure. A big thus, part to do with Civil War.
Yeah. The only other Cap-related news this week is that the issue Captain America number 25, the second printing has come out featuring an all new crispy cover. And it's just lovely. So in case you missed it, which likely you did thanks to the speculator market, you should be able to get one now.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Since you so graciously brought up Wolverine in your last little bit there with his denial, there's some talk about Tyler Mayne reprising his role as Sabretooth in the upcoming Wolverine film, No Duh.
Again.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think this really comes as a surprise to anybody. I think it's probably just... solidifying maybe it a little bit more. I mean, Tyler Mayne is talking about it. There was rumor for a while that Tyler Mayne had actually signed onto a multi-picture deal with Fox when they made the first X-Men film, and they didn't use him in the subsequent film. So it would seem that they still need to use him somewhere, and what better place to use him than in a Wolverine film? So I'm guessing if that's true, it's going to end up being the tale of Wolverine and Sabretooth.
Right.
And they'll kind of play that backstory up a little bit, so...
DC is originally slated the 3rd volume of Batman Black and White.
Okay.
Which is basically short Batman stories.
Okay.
That are told using exclusively black and white artwork.
Okay.
It's been dynamic. All the major artists have contributed something. They've all been fantastic. That, of course, led to the fantastic DC Direct Black and White
Statues.
Batman statue series. And originally the book... The 3rd volume of this book, there are 2 out now, was going to be just released as a soft trade paperback.
Right.
And I guess DC has now gone and reconsidered the fact that they did release the first 2 in hardcover. So they are going to go ahead and release the 3rd one in hardcover, which is good news for fans who like consistency. So good for DC.
While we're talking about Batman, it looks like that company that puts out those nifty Lego games... There's the Star Wars Lego games. Right. There was a Harry Potter Lego game. Looks like they're going to be doing a Batman Lego game.
Interesting.
Some point in the near future, so you can keep keep a lookout for that. If you haven't played those, they're kind of quirky, but they're fun. They definitely have playability to them that would appeal, I think, to a mass audience, especially if you appreciate the characters. You know, if you're a Batman fan, Star Wars fan, Harry Potter fan, and at this point in time, who isn't one of those three fans? So look forward to that. It should be fun. Should be interesting.
Bit of sad news to report. Arnold Drake has passed away.
Oh.
A writer for, what, about 100 years in the comic book industry.
Sure.
Died on March 12th at the age of 83.
Wow.
I'm assuming of complications of being 83. And the greatest things that Mr. Drake brought to the table were, of course, the DC character of Deadman.
Okay.
One of my personal favorites. And, of course, the original X-Men, DC's Doom Patrol.
Right.
Doom Patrol, or rather X-Men, was a shadowy parody of the Doom Patrol. And Drake's career kind of officially sort of ended in the 60s, writing-wise, but he still contributed things here and there, and he still was obviously working at some sort of craft somewhere right. along the line. Great old man. I talked to him at every convention I went to, and he always had interesting stories and things to say, and I'm going to miss him.
Aww.
I am going to miss him. Deadman and Doom Patrol are two of my favorite books that he's written, and two great characters, Deadman right. and the Doom Patrol as a group. Fantastic characters, and they came from this man. This guy was kind of an under-tapped Stan Lee. Could have probably done a lot more.
Perhaps.
So, Arnold Drake, dead at 83.
Well, luckily for all the listeners out there, to get us away from such sad news of Mr. Drake's passing, I was able to come up with some Transformers news for tonight's show.
Transformers
movie.
Matt's losing his mind.
We haven't had any in a little bit.
Oh boy,
I forgot what that
thing sounded like.
Yeah, well, that's a fan favorite, so we got to bring it out in some way, shape,
really?
Or form this show.
But that other bit, the
I ain't saying it.
That bit, no one liked.
So, for those of you who haven't heard already, it looks like Hugo Weaving will be doing the voice work of Megatron, which kind of comes as a surprise because a lot of us had thought that the original voice actor, Mr. Welker, was going to be doing that role, much like Peter Cullen is going to be doing Optimus Prime.
I thought for sure we had heard that.
I thought for sure we had heard it too. It seemed like it was very solid. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm floating around the internet and Hugo Weaving is tied to the project now. And that's been confirmed by DreamWorks. So
weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wonder what happened to the other dude.
I do not know, but it's kind of sad. I mean,
throat cancer.
I like Hugo Weaving. You know, he's a great actor. He does some great voice work. I mean, you know, essentially V was voice work.
He was in there.
I know.
He was in the suit.
I know. But essentially, I mean, it was, you know, you couldn't really see his face. It was essentially voice work. So I think he could do a good job. It's just a shame that they couldn't get the original. But we also know that Keith David from The Thing and They Live, Kev.
Now, wait a minute. Keith David or David Keith?
No, Keith David.
Because there's two of them. There's a white guy and a black guy. One of them is Keith David. One of them is David Keith.
Keith David would be the gentleman that was in They Live, which would be the black guy.
Black
guy.
Yes.
He is going to be voicing the Decepticon Barricade in the upcoming film. So,
guess they couldn't get that original actor.
I don't God
Joe
only knows.
Somebody.
Yeah, God only knows who that original actor was. And on top of all of that, there were two new posters, two new movie posters released this week, one with Prime, one with Megatron. They're all over MySpace because MySpace is having their promote the hell out of Transformers week.
And fans are going berserk because they hate the way that they look.
See, now I haven't heard that.
That's what I've heard.
I've heard some pretty positive responses, actually.
I haven't heard that.
A lot of people, from what I've read, a lot of people like Prime. I think A lot of people are pretty happy with the way Prime looks. Megatron, I think people are still wishy-washy on, but again, I think you're going to have to wait and see what it looks like in the final film.
Okay. You're worried, aren't you?
No.
I think you're worried.
No more than I was when I first heard the film was announced.
You see those little beads of sweat on his forehead whenever he talks about this stuff as the closer it gets?
No beads of sweat.
Little tiny nervous beads.
You're a silly, silly man.
DVD releases for last week.
Ooh.
Included, just quick, a quick little notation here.
Uh-huh.
Happy Feet.
Aw, so cute.
Yes.
Mumbles.
The dancing cinematic CGI penguin movie with two all-new animated sequences. Hello.
Hello.
And a ton of special features. It's a great, funny little flick for everybody. If you haven't seen it yet, you should pick it up.
It's all
and
right.
Of
it's
course,
cutesy.
How could we not talk about this, man?
I could easily not talk about that, but I know that you have to talk about it, being a huge fan, and so I'll let you talk about
it. And I'm going to wait for Fantastic to get in position, because I'm sure he's going to have a smart-ass comment about it. It's the Errol Flynn Signature Collection, Volume 2, Fantastic.
Ooh.
Featuring five great films from the immortal Errol Flynn.
Don Juan.
Including The Adventures of Don Juan, which won the Academy Award in 1949 for Best Color Costume Design. Bet you didn't even know they gave out awards for that, did you, Fantastic? Charge of the Light Brigade, which won the Academy Award in 1936. For Best Assistant Director, Jack Sullivan.
Wow.
It also includes The Dawn Patrol, which co-starred David Niven. Dive Bomber, which co-starred Fred McMurray, which you might know from the Flubber original Disney Flubber.
Right, he is the absent-minded professor.
And Gentleman Jim, where Errol Flynn plays James C. Corbett, who revolutionizes boxing. All in a pretty box set here. Fantastic. Something.
Thank you for that. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's all you better say. Now sit the hell back down. Matt, what else we got?
So for all of you naysayers and non-believers out there who had been getting your panties in a bunch for the past 2 years about whether or not Emma Watson was going to stay, was going to go, will she be Hermione, will she not be Hermione, will she do some dirty
naked movie,
porno movie some point in her future? We know at the very least she is going to finish out her run on the Harry Potter films. She will be doing the sixth and seventh film, Half-Blood Prince and the Deathly Hallows.
Ha ha, Emma. Ha ha. Told you you would. Ha ha.
Well, really, I think it's a matter of
money.
If it was ever true that she wasn't going to do it, she's come to her senses and accepted the fact that she'd just be an idiot if she didn't. And it would hurt her more than it would help her, I think.
Right, and I'm sure the money helped as well.
Oh, I'm sure. And obviously, Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint also staying on board for all seven films. So there you have it.
Well, that's very exciting news, except for a couple of things.
Okay.
I mean, she probably won't do any quality nudity for at least 3 more years, is what I'm thinking.
Well, you never know. I mean,
I said quality.
You know,
I said quality.
You know, Harry did the thing with the horse.
Well, that's true. He did. I think there's no problem whatsoever with Emma Watson appearing naked when it calls for the character to have a nude scene.
Right.
I don't think there's any problem with that at all.
Can we move on now?
Dakota Fanning is doing it in her new movie. She gets raped. Did you know that?
I did know that, and I couldn't care less.
Really?
Not at all.
You don't like the fact that they're putting your Dakota Fanning rape fantasy up there on film for everyone to see?
I've never had a Dakota Fanning rape fantasy. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure you haven't.
Christopher, thank God my father could write Tolkien, is going to be working on another book that his father had started over 30 years ago.
Oh, is this the
Children of Húrin?
Yeah, I just saw that advertised somewhere.
Apparently, this book is going to be the equivalent of the Silmarillion. Silmarillion being mostly about the elves. Am I correct there?
I think so.
And this one is going to be the dwarves.
Oh, really?
So it's like the companion piece to the Cimmerillion.
Really?
Yes. And Christopher Tolkien is taking the scrap work that his father had worked on and putting it together and putting it out there.
Yeah, really, you know what he did. He found some piece of paper with that word on it, and was like, it said dwarves.
Yeah,
and he goes, I can finish this.
God.
Period.
You know, for those of you who listen to us regularly, you know that I am not at all a fan of Christopher Tolkien. I think he's an ass, and I hate his writing. And I think it's a shame that he takes his father's work and the quality work and the much thought out, well-written storylines that his father has put out and just destroys it with this drivel. And I have no faith that this will be any different.
Well, sure, he doesn't want to hear that. Christopher, are you there? Chris, are you on the phone? Fantastic. There's some problem with the connection. I can't hear Christopher Tolkien.
Maybe we can get his voicemail.
That's funny.
I know that's
we did that this year.
I know we did that this year. So Ray Winstone, whom I don't know because I haven't seen The Departed yet because I'm behind the times.
Right.
But who was just in The Departed alongside Jack Nicholson, will be in the fourth Indiana Jones film. As some sort of sidekick, friend, colleague of Indiana.
Okay.
Of Indy. Well, just a little bit of casting news
Interesting.
There.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know, just...
I'd like to take your little Indy 4 casting news one step further.
Okay, go for it.
Female lead in the film?
Mm-hmm.
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett, I know. Pretty exciting.
That's pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting. I love Cate Blanchett.
If I could interrupt, I also have a scoop, guys.
Uh-oh.
Caught wind of what the script is about. It's been floating around on the internet recently, and it turns out aliens. Indiana Jones 4 is about aliens.
How come he brings this up every time we bring up this movie?
I hope you're kidding.
That's what the internet says.
Of course, so it must be
true.
Well,
so it must be true.
We got to stop sending him stuff on the internet.
Actually, I think it's going to be about robots.
He believes everything we say.
It's going to be a sequel to the Transformers film, since Shia LaBeouf is going to be in both films.
Well, I heard it was going to feature a 40s version of G.I. Joe.
And a Kung Fu mummy, played by Jet Li.
Telling you. You heard it here first.
Uh-huh.
Repeated here first.
You heard it here first and last.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff. Or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Fuck, 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 mother, mother, fuck, mother, mother, fuck, fuck, mother, fuck, mother, fuck, noinch, noinch, noinch. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, noinch, noinch, noinch.
Hey, this is Jason Mewes, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Snitch. Yes, bitch.
That's what the book cover looks like?
I think it looks great. I think it kind of gives a little insight into what's going to happen, maybe, perhaps. Sort of.
How do you figure?
Well, you got Harry, you got Voldemort.
All right, maybe we should just stop talking about it. I'm just saying, maybe we should stop. Maybe you're going to give something away that people don't want to know until they actually have the book.
Go to Borders.com and look at the cover.
It's not like they don't look at the cover before opening the book.
I'm sorry. Was I trying to preserve the sanctity of the mystery of the book?
Listen, the night before the book comes out, we're not going to roll up and down the streets screaming,
"Oh yes,
Snape
we
kills
are.
Dumbledore."
Snape kills Dumbledore. I'm going to roll up and down screaming, "Hermione's pregnant." That's what I'm going to roll up and down.
By a
Hermione's
house
pregnant. Hermione's pregnant. Let's just do a quickie little thing. We got a couple of incoming products this week.
We do.
Do you want to knock that one out?
Yeah, let's go for this.
I'm actually really excited about that one.
So am I. But I'm excited about everything that they have coming out pretty much in the next couple of months. So,
I know.
So we have here Marvel Select Mephisto from Diamond.
Now,
as you know.
Right. So Marvel Select, of course, is the 6-inch scale figures that are being done by of Marvel characters that are being done by Diamond.
Right.
They are perfectly in scale with your Marvel Legends pieces.
And
these
better.
Are characters, well, in some cases, yes. These are characters that I guess Marvel Legends just doesn't feel like would be a success for them. And I also noticed they tend to be a little bit larger. Watcher was larger.
Right.
The what you call it, Hulk.
Well, I'm sure that's
Ultimate
done on
Hulk
purpose.
Was larger.
I'm sure that's done on purpose to kind of have some uniqueness to
right.
it. But the scale isn't that bad where you can't display them together, and you can't really say that Toy Biz or Hasbro now doesn't want to do these characters because they have done Legends characters that were once Marvel Select Diamond characters.
Well, that's
Emma Frost is the perfect example.
Right, and actually, as it turns out, the Marvel Select one, much
way
better.
Way better.
We should also mention at this time that there is a Marvel Legends variant. There's actually two special figures out right now. I don't know if you know this.
No, I don't.
There is a clear version of the Emma Frost, the worst piece in Hasbro's first Marvel Legends line. There's now a variant of her floating around.
It should just be invisible, like it just air in a package.
And there's also a pewterized Wolverine.
Why?
I don't know.
At least the clear Emma Frost makes sense.
Pewterized Wolverine. So this is basically a Wolverine figure painted silver.
Oh, this is like how... Oh, well, Hasbro does that, though.
Right.
They've been doing that with Star Wars figures for how many years now?
Exactly. And it didn't make sense
R2,
then.
R2, Vader, Boba Fett,
and it doesn't
Clone
make sense
Trooper,
now.
Et cetera.
Anyway, the figure we're talking about today is the Mephisto.
Right. You know, it's a good-looking figure. Something different about it that I'm noticing now that I'm not sure if I just missed out on before or this is maybe the first time they're doing it, but he is articulated.
Right.
I know the Marvel Select figures that I have, and I only have a handful of them because I'm kind of a selective collector, but the ones that I have are not really articulated at all. They're kind of more like display pieces, posable statues, plastic statues,
right.
That kind of thing.
McFarlane.
But I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4...
Many.
5, maybe, I don't know, somewhere between 8 and 9 points of articulation possibly on this figure?
You know, after 5, in Rabbit World, it's many, many.
Is it many, many?
Yeah.
Foot, 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 and foot, foot, foot?
Just saying. I think early on in the Diamond Select
right.
Production of these, the Diamond Select production of these mm-hmm. figures, like the Spider-Man they did and the Punisher,
right.
they were all intended to be exactly that, kind of a single display piece. And I think at some point they made that transition
okay.
into making these characters that, in my opinion, characters that Marvel Legends wasn't necessarily going to make.
Right.
I think the case of Emma Frost, I think at one point it was probably she may have been too risque
right.
for Marvel Legends. However, they could get away with her in
Marvel Select.
Marvel Select, yes.
Well, you know, it's a great figure. I think Diamond's got some great looking Marvel pieces coming out in the next year. Totally worthwhile picking up. If you can find the Mephisto figure, definitely a great addition to your Fantastic Four collection,
rather,
the Legends collection.
Right, he is rather a pinnacle character in the Marvel Universe.
Sure, sure.
And recently portrayed in the Ghost Rider movie
yes.
by Peter Fonda.
It's true.
Let's move on to a company who is, in my opinion, against the ropes. But they are
yes.
coming out swinging.
Well, this definitely redeems them. Over the last line we talked about,
right? It was the it's their now playing series.
Right.
It's their sort of movie maniacs,
right,
or whatever the other 18 incarnations of these types of figures has been. The now playing presents Land of the Dead.
Right.
It's three characters from Land of the Dead. The Butcher, Big Daddy,
and the Candlestick Maker.
Machete.
Ooh.
Right. Machete, of course, is portrayed by Tom Savini.
Of course.
Convention regular.
Sure.
So I'm going to save my machete so I can have Tom Savini sign it.
Excellent. Good for
they,
you.
Of course, like every other toy coming out in the world today, you can get pieces from the fourth character, the victim.
Okay.
And you can put it together and you can have a gory mess of a victim laying down.
Excellent.
Land of the Dead is George Romero's last zombie movie that he did.
By last, you mean the last one he did?
The last, well, most recent one.
Right.
He's not dead.
So no. Because I was going to say, I think there's talks already of doing another one.
Planet of the
Dead? Something crazy.
Island of the Dead? I don't know. Dead of the Dead? And these are three of the more pinnacle zombies,
right,
that are featured in the film. They're fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
to coin a phrase.
Going from Baron Harkonnen, Meg Mucklebones, and was it a dog soldier?
The werewolf from Dog Soldier.
Right, the werewolf from Dog Soldier. Going from those three figures to these three figures, huge improvement on Soda's part. And we know Soda could put out some pretty good product. They have in the past. I mean, at the very least, the Charmed figures were really nice when they came out.
Right.
So I don't know if... I don't know why such a vast difference, if it's a new sculpting team, if it's a new painting team, if it's a new everything team.
Well, I know for a fact that they've had some leadership,
right,
changes,
okay,
in the last, shall we say, 6 months or so.
Right, okay.
And so perhaps that last batch was maybe the first outing for the new crew who were,
okay,
kind of getting their sea legs.
Feeling it out a little bit?
A little bit. These are far and away better pieces than the last set.
Sure.
And I'm actually very excited about these. When I opened the box, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to be seeing.
Right.
And I have to admit, I was very nervous. But now I'm very pleased. I'm glad to have all... It's pieces like this that make me want to get kind of all zombie pieces and just have some sort of zombie shelf.
Sure. You could easily do that.
I know.
There's get those like, Marvel Select zombies?
No.
Why not? They look awesome.
Actually, probably I will get the Cap one because it's appropriate.
The Peter
now.
Parker Mary Jane one is great, though. What an awesome
that
looking
awful
piece.
Wedding one.
Oh, I think it looks awesome. Ugh. I want it.
Of course you do.
Not going to lie.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm a Spider-Man fan.
Now playing from Soda,
right,
Land
Soda.
Of the Dead pieces, three figures. They're, of course, in the 6-7-inch scale. They come with. As we said, they come with a variety of interchangeable parts.
They do.
And also pieces of the victim,
uh-huh,
which you can put together, as we said. Great, great pieces. I don't think we need to say anything else about them.
No.
I think they kind of stand up for themselves. So go out and find those. Go out to your local comic store and find Mephisto,
right,
from Marvel Select.
Hello, dear listener, Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes, and you are listening to Big Kev's...
Geek Stuff!
Narf! Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf!
No!
I mean, the Harkonnen from that now playing line was pretty cool, but the LJN ones just have always stuck in my head. And,
sure.
You know, I want to actually find out what I'm missing from the archive and fill in those gaps.
You have the Do you have that new DVD release where it has
the 4-hour version?
The big 4-hour Alan Smithy version of Dune?
I do.
How do you enjoy that?
Is it Alan Smithy?
It's the 4-hour version is an Alan Smithy film.
Oh, really?
Because Lynch, the film was taken out of Lynch's hands, and right. they did their thing with it, make that crazy version.
Yeah, it's all right. I've always felt kind of about it. We know the significance of the 84 Dune movie, don't we? Anyone in the room? First film featuring Alicia Witt. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. That's right. She plays Alia.
She plays Alia.
I forgot all about that.
Thank you very much.
Well,
nice.
I mean, you know, it's a great kind of movie, but it's nowhere near what the books were. I mean, the Sci-Fi Channel.
Sci-Fi Channel ones were good.
You know, there were two, right? There were two from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Two of Dune and Children of
Spot
Dune,
on.
I think, right?
Yeah, so.
All right. Let's move on and get through this because... Is this a you and Fantastic Venture?
This was a Fantastic show to me, and I said... Yes.
Fantastic. Get up and explain yourself.
Hey, what's up?
Well, what is this? What are we doing here?
Well, I was in my house. It was at night. It was dark, and I was all alone.
Uh-huh.
And I was on the internet.
How typical.
You know what happens when you're on the internet alone? Naked women.
Nice.
So, Matt, what's the title? I want to get it right.
I
want to get the title right.
It's the bit Fantastic brought to the table and killed.
It is the 10... child actresses from the 80s who grew up to be hotties.com. No.
This is, yes, I can see the significance now. It's bubbling over with significance.
What do you mean?
What? I hope to God.
No one likes you, by the way.
Wow.
All right, so let's... Let's try to make use of this list somehow, some way.
Now, I think that this list is appropriate for us to
discuss. Really?
Sure.
And Dan Jurgens drew the death of Superman.
You're going to find a geek who's not into women, hot women?
That's not the issue. That's the link.
Oh, my God.
Look at this. Look at the live audience. They're going crazy for it.
Yeah. And they're women, ooh. So it's awesome.
Yes. Well,
woohoo!
Sketchy at best.
You seem to be the only one who doesn't appreciate it.
I'm not saying I don't appreciate it. I would just like to make sure that we have a correlation between this list and, I don't know, the subject matter of the show.
Have so much goddamn information in your head from the geek world, how about every time we get to a woman, you correlate them to a geek thing, somehow geek them.
Okay, fine.
I have faith in you.
All right. I think we should right away skip number 10.
Okay.
Right.
Because I think
it's because it's the
hot.
Surprise.
It is a surprise.
Because we were all like, holy shite.
We were really like, seriously?
All right. So let's go to number 9 then.
Number 9 is Candace Cameron, who played DJ Tanner on Full House.
Yes.
She was the eldest sister.
She was the younger sister to Kirk, a good God fearing.
He did all those crazy.
Yeah.
Revelation.
Left Behind.
Series.
Ah, thank you, that's Cheryl, good. In the audience. Awesome.
About the Rapture.
Yes. And there's like 12 of them.
Left Behind. And they make comics out of those, too, you know.
Did they?
Yeah. All right, let's see. Something geek related for Candace Cameron. I got nothing.
Nothing at all?
I got nothing. I remember that she was the little sister in Some Kind of Wonderful. That's all I remember other than Full House. And I don't even remember her from Full House because I never watched Full House.
Wow. Okay. So nothing on Candace Cameron.
Nothing on Candace Cameron.
You failed us.
How does she look in the picture?
Hot.
Christian.
Really?
No. She's sitting by a poolside and she's I guess she's hot.
You know what it is? It's like one of those photos that they put on the cover of like Teen People or something like that, where it's kind of like safe hot.
Yeah.
Like she's trying to be. You know, like
she's
sexy,
not,
but
right.
But not too sexy.
She's not arching her back all the way to push her breasts out. Like, she's just kind of arcing it a little bit so you see that they're there.
Just enough to accentuate.
Yeah. Yeah. Just enough. Number 8 on the list is Keisha Knight Pulliam. Rudy from The Cosby Show.
Little Rudy.
Rudy had a mustache.
Word.
I saw her recently on some documentary, and I don't even think she belongs on that list from what I saw. It was kind of like they were catching up with Rudy or whatever her name is.
Yeah, I don't know.
And about how she's going to NYU or Fordham, and she's studying, and she's making something of her life other than Rudy.
Good for her.
So she wasn't that good looking.
Geek relation.
Uh-huh.
The Last Dragon.
Wow. Mm-hmm. The little...
She was the little one in The Last Dragon. Yeah. Wow.
The little one.
The little one. And Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Aw.
That had a fantastic element to it, so I say...
Sure.
I say I win. Number 7.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna get rough. Soleil Moon Frye, who was Punky Brewster on Punky Brewster.
Like, we didn't know she was gonna grow up to be hot.
Yeah.
Didn't she grow up to have humongous breasts?
Yes.
And
humongous.
They
were bigger than her.
Yes.
Really?
That yeah, she true. Had them chopped off.
Wow.
And there's something geek that she eventually ended up in.
I don't know, Fantastic. What geek thing did she turn up on? Because I got blank.
You can't read your own handwriting, huh? It's Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
How do you know that?
I've seen it. I've You've followed her
it?
Career closely.
Have you?
Anything with Soleil Moon Frye.
And Melissa Joan Hart. You're
no,
a big
not
fan
her.
Of Clarissa Explains It All?
No. The show, kind of, but then she kind of let herself go, I got to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now you're saying, how does Sabrina the Teenage Witch fit into the geek culture, right?
No.
Because I could tie it in.
Here it comes.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
uh-huh.
Based on a comic book.
That's true. Very good.
Tie in.
I thought for sure you were kind of going for the 6 degrees of hot chicks to geek stuff. Kind of thing
no.
here, and I just wasn't going to have it. Number 6 on the list is Danica McKellar.
Oh, Winnie Cooper, I love you.
Yes, Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years.
So what is she doing?
This one's easy. She does voiceovers for everything.
Oh, all right.
Lots of video games,
lots
right?
of video games and cartoons. Didn't she do Sue Storm in that recent Ultimates
The Marvel
nonsense?
Ultimate Alliance game?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
The game. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And Jubilee in X-Men Legends. And she's done a lot of that voiceover crap.
Pretty good
she?
Games. To do voice work, you usually end up in a pretty crappy game. But to do 3 good ones, which she's done at the very least, is quite a feat.
Okay.
Good for her.
She's okay.
I think she's pretty cute.
I think she was hotter when she was younger.
She had more meat on her then.
And I'm the dirty one?
Why? Because she was hotter when she was younger? I was younger when she was younger. What's the problem?
The problem is you weren't young enough.
Wicked burn.
I think, Fantastic,
yeah.
that you spanked to her. That's all I'm saying. Josie Davis, number
Soleil
6.
Moonfry.
Who the hell is Josie Davis?
She was Sarah Powell from Charles in Charge.
She was the other one.
The other sister.
The other sister.
And we'll get to the one who you think should be on the list from Charles in Charge.
She was the
Charge,
older sister, right?
Right. And she was
the more
kind
responsible
of,
sister.
The more responsible, more conservative, more nerdy.
Right.
Oh, wait, so not
she
that,
don't look
the
so
other
nerdy
sister.
Now.
No. No.
Yeah, not the other sister. She has done relatively little, but I think, if I'm not mistaken,
no.
she did an episode
oh, no.
of that wonderful Mortal Kombat Conquest TV show.
Out of all the things that she's been in on TV, she's been in a whole load of TV shows, and I've seen her in a couple, and she's actually really good. I think I saw her on CSI Miami. And she's the victim, I believe, in the one that I saw, and she's really good. And you pick, what did you pick?
Mortal Kombat Conquest.
Was she just in one episode? Did she play the lead female in that television show?
I don't think so.
What was her name? What was that character's name? She wore the green leotard.
Sonya?
Did she play Sonya on
was
that
it?
Show?
I saw something where she was the victim, and I thought she was good.
I don't think she was Sonya.
Who's next?
Let's see. Who is next? That would be... number 4, Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, Kelly stole my heart.
From Saved by the Bell. Wasn't she also on that Drek 90210 for a while?
She was on 90210 for a while.
Ugh.
Now this bitch I'm still in love with.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it the cocaine?
She does not go bad.
No, but she's an attractive.
But you do bring up a good
lady.
Point because if a girl is hot and then develops a drug habit, she's kind of more obtainable, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Because you could work her for the from the drug angle?
Hey, there's a couple angles you could work
hey,
her
from. Hey, baby. Just kind of you flick that bag in front of her face like, hey, baby.
So Tiffany Amber Thiessen made the list, but Elizabeth
Berkley?
She did not. And maybe that was because of Showgirls.
Oh, she was Jessie from...
She was Jessie on Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell.
Maybe she was number 11. And this is only 10.
She always seemed like she'd be real annoying to hang out with, though.
Yeah.
You know?
How about, let's move on to number 3, Tatiana Ali.
Aw.
Is she any relation?
I don't think so.
To Muhammad?
Muhammad?
Jesus.
Muhammad Ali? What?
I'm That's guessing not name. So much. Okay, so we know her from The Fresh Prince, but...
That's right. She was
what's
the,
her
the little
time?
Cousin on The Fresh Prince. I
Ashley
thought the
Banks.
Older cousin was hotter.
Oh, Hillary Banks?
Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah, but Tatiana Ali sprouted after that.
Yeah, she's pretty cute. She's pretty cute.
I got nothing.
You never seen her, have you?
I got nothing.
You never seen her. That one picture is the only picture you've seen.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
I can't think of a thing.
It's because she doesn't have any real talent. She's just hot.
That is her talent. Fantastic.
Number 2.
Uh-huh.
Nicole Eggert.
Yes.
She was Jamie Powell in Charles in Charge.
Ah, who cares about Charles in Charge? She was naked and blown away.
Really?
And there it is.
Wow. Is there something she hasn't been naked in since then?
Baywatch.
Well, might as well have been naked in Baywatch.
Blown Away was a Corey Haim, Corey Feldman action sex drama.
Yeah.
Where at the end, she literally gets shotgunned off of one of them while having sex through a window. Hence the name Blown Away.
Wait,
if you haven't
seriously?
Seen it.
Seriously? I thought that was a Jeff Daniels
now,
movie about the bombs.
No,
I
knew it.
No. It was some sort of elaborate murder plot, and they were trying to blow up his car.
I think it was his bike or something.
Yeah, his bike. It was his motorcycle or something, right?
Are you kidding me? You're bringing up a Corey's movie?
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, and the disadvantage is you do have a naked Nicole Eggert, but you have to deal with the Corey Haim ass in order to see it. So.
Oh my God! Hey, remember? Remember when we got, what was it? What was that David Spade movie?
Oh, Love Stinks?
No. David Spade. No, that was Lost and Found. And that's not the one I mean either. No, the child star one.
Dickie Roberts?
Remember they had that video on the end with all those former child stars that were singing, "We love being child stars on your television." And they were all singing it. And you and I looked over, and we were like, "Who's that lesbian standing with Corey Feldman?" And it was Corey Haim. I swear to God, he looked like he weighed 300 pounds. He looked like a lesbian.
Oh my!
You're
God.
So right. I just saw him on one of those child stars of the '90s or
like
'80s
VH1
and '90s.
Or
right.
Some
yeah,
shit.
Where are they? And they were interviewing him, and I really felt bad. I felt really bad. I saw one previously where he was selling his teeth on eBay for rent money, and he looked really thin. And this one looked like it was about 3 years after the fact, and he had just ballooned. And it's not a good, like, you know, the guy looks jacked or it looks really healthy. He looks like substance abuse problem ballooned.
He looked like Bull Dyke lesbian that needed a hot girlfriend.
Like, is he still sporting like the flannel mullet routine and all that, the whole deal?
I don't know that. I don't. Well,
if he's a
whatever
lesbian,
his outfit was that day, we really should dig out that video because I'm telling you, you see him, and I swear I saw it at least 3 or 4 times before I picked up the fact that it was Corey
Haim. That's unbelievable.
So yeah, so poor Corey Haim.
I heard rumor they were going to do another Corey's movie.
Oh, God. Nicole Eggert also did an episode of Outer Limits.
So that's the geek
the newer
tie-in.
One. Yeah. So that's the tie-in. And the number one person on this list.
Right.
It's really not really a surprise at all. It's Alyssa Milano, who played Sam.
Right.
On Who's the Boss?
Samantha.
Angela.
Jonathan.
And I think she was much hotter
wow,
when
2 points,
when she was on Who's the Boss.
Who's the Boss?
So, just saying what?
Do you remember the episode where she goes to buy a bra? Look at the look, women know.
All the girls know. in the yes, studio audience raise their hand. Yep, we all remember that one.
I could relate. Okay, yeah, so, and she has the little flower on the center of the bra. She wants to get that, and Tony doesn't want her to get it. I'll say.
So. And not only does he remember it, he remembers little tiny details about her underwear selection.
And here's what, I have vivid memories of that particular show.
Alyssa Milano, of course, was on the series Charmed right. from beginning to end. That was some 7 or 8 seasons, I think. So, and that, Charmed. Of course, a very genre sort of show.
Sure.
We need to bounce backwards now to number 10.
We do, because we skipped over number 10 from the get-go.
Number 10 was rather shocking.
Very shocking. Surprising.
It's Jodie Sweetin, who played Stephanie Tanner, the middle child, on Full House.
Wow.
She's kind of hot.
She's really hot. She looks really good in that picture.
Yeah, she does.
You know, out of the two aliens that are the Olsen twins and Candace Cameron... She actually, I think, turned out to be the best out of the family.
I think so too. I would agree with you.
I'm gonna go on the record here and say it was. I think it was the meth.
Hey, whatever works.
Wasn't she fat, bloated, punked out, and on meth on some one of those catching up with the people who are no longer on TV programs?
Yeah, which makes you think that you could bag her, right?
Fantastic. You think you could bag anybody?
Yeah.
Well, look
and
at
you
her.
Probably could. You pretty bastard. But the point is that she's not looking that bad anymore. If this is a recent photo, she's blonde with a big smile on her face, a see-through top, and
yeah,
she's hot.
So what has she been in recently, Kev?
I got nothing. I'm yielding to you on this, Fantastic, because I could tell by the tone of your voice that you must have something really exciting.
I guess you could call it exciting. What I do have is 2006... Pants off, dance off.
All right.
And I think...
What is the fuck is that?
I think user TepTime on IMDb.com does an excellent job in describing what this is. Pants off, dance off features contestants who dance for your pleasure, superimposed over the videos of the songs they are dancing to. So this kind of sounds like an iPod commercial to me.
Yeah.
Except he goes on to say, did I say they were dancing? These folks are stripping. Which is exactly where you would have expected her to eventually end up in the role that she was in.
So she ends up on some stripper show?
Yes.
Pretty much.
And this seems like a very low-budget endeavor, let's say.
There's a shocking surprise.
Well, there you have it, folks. I don't even know. How do we even come back from that? Top 10 child actresses from 80s TV shows who grew up to be hotties. I think the two of you should be commended for bringing in this very relevant bit to this show.
And I think that...
And by commended, I mean condemned.
Of course, you do. Why? I think we should put together a list of the top 10 current hot actresses in geek-related shows for a future episode.
Ooh.
That's a terrible idea, Matt.
Of course it is. It came out of my mouth.
Why is that a terrible idea?
That's not a terrible idea. I'm making fun of you.
Why would you make... I didn't even say anything.
Other people get it.
Why would you even say that?
What do you mean?
I didn't even say anything. I was saying it was a good idea when you piped up and chimed in.
Right, but over time, you've established a bit of a reputation of someone who's a bit of a naysayer, especially when it comes to other people's ideas, maybe.
Oh, we're really just letting it all hang out tonight, are we, Fantastic?
Wow.
You invited me to step up to this
Did
microphone.
Did I?
One year of something is being let loose into this room tonight.
Michael Jackson, 1975, called. He'd like his hair back.
See, you can give it.
All right. Mr. Matt, why don't you go ahead and make that list?
I don't think it'd be very hard to do.
I'll make a list, too. Actually. We want to do it for next week? We want to do the challenge?
Yeah, we'll do it for next week.
10 for you, 10 for me.
Easily. Who's got the hottest bitches?
We'll give Fantastic 5 so he feels like he's part of it.
No, can I judge? I'd like to judge.
You can judge.
Why don't you? Oh, yeah, because you're not impartial or anything.
No, I'm not.
No, of course.
I take your side all the time.
The guy who backs your ridiculous notions week after week.
Of what? That Dan Juergens had a hand in Superman?
That's it. Two words. Dan Juergens.
Matt,
I just got a brand new 2-pound bag of Jelly Belly jelly beans. They come in 49 flavors, all of which I'm going to read for you right now. Berry Blue, Blueberry, Bubblegum.
Jelly Belly is the original gourmet jelly bean. A fat-free candy with only 4 calories per bean.
Cotton candy, A&W cream soda, crushed pineapple, Dr. Pepper.
You can go to jellybelly.com to find recipes on how to combine your favorite Jelly Bellies to come up with new and exciting flavors like mud pie and berry smoothie.
Orange juice, orange sherbet, peach, peanut butter, pina colada, pink grapefruit, plum, raspberry.
And with Easter just around the corner, now is the perfect time to get Jelly Bellies for your entire family.
Strawberry daiquiri, strawberry jam, tangerine, toasted marshmallow, top banana.
That's Jelly Belly, the original gourmet jelly bean.
Jelly Bellies, available at a store near you.
Hey, this is Taima Guardiello from the movie The Last Dragon, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
In our anniversary episode,
yes.
What did we talk about?
A lot of
fantastic
stuff.
Losing his mind.
Well, we talked about Jet Li potentially playing the Mummy in the third Mummy film that will be out at some point in time, about the child of former archaeologist adventurer Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz.
Right.
We also talked about Heroes and some of the paintings, or can't determine if they're originals or prints or both, but they're auctioning off several pieces at NBC.com for the National Epilepsy Foundation. A handful of the pieces included in the auction are The Exploding Man, Homecoming, The Eclipse, and Hero Battles the T-Rex.
Right. So those are going for a good cause, and
sure.
Hopefully more of that will be made available as well.
Sure.
I talked about a whole bunch of Captain America news. Marvel
right.
Going to ride this whole death of Cap thing as much as possible.
Of course.
Speculation, of course, has begun about who is going to pick up the mantle of Captain America and put it on and run with it. Speculations go from the obvious, the Winter Soldier, formerly known as Bucky, to the ridiculous, like Punisher or Falcon, because Matt says he's black. And also, they're going to be doing Fallen Son, The Death of Captain America, 5-issue series, which features the 5 stages of grief. I think I called it 5 stages of death earlier. What
yeah,
I meant
you
to
did.
Say was 5 stages of grief.
That makes a little more sense.
Which is probably now corrected. So, 5 stages of grief. And those are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance.
Right.
And they will each feature different characters and their reactions to Cap's death. How it affects the Marvel Universe, blah, blah, blah.
We talked about Columbia Pictures, green lighting, a Green Hornet film, still early in development, but hopefully we'll see it come to fruition this time. And we also talked about Tyler Mane returning to film, hopefully in the role of Sabretooth in the upcoming Wolverine prequel.
I also mentioned as part of that Cap story that the Cap second printing of issue number 25...
Uh-huh.
Has come out, and so if you missed the original one where he gets shot, you could pick up this one.
Sure.
And still be able to get the story. I also said that DC has gone back and decided that a hardcover edition of Batman Black and White Volume 3 is the way to go, rather than a soft cover out of the gate. I'm sure a soft cover will follow.
Right.
Which is a good decision for people who have been collecting hardcovers.
Sure. We talked about, speaking of Batman, we talked about Lego Batman, the new game that'll be coming out later this year, in the same vein as the Harry Potter and Star Wars ones that have been out previously. Fun and quirky. If you love the characters, definitely worth checking out. You know, good time.
Arnold Drake, great writer and creator in the early days of DC, created characters such as Deadman and the Doom Patrol.
Right.
Has passed away on March 12th at the age of 83. Oh. I said from complications of being 83.
guessing I'm correct.
Right.
He's a great old guy. Love talking with him at cons. And, yeah, I'm going to be sorry. I hope his partner on a lot of that work was Luis Dominguez, who also made it out to cons. I hope that he will still come out.
Hopefully.
Because he's a great guy, too. Funny, funny guy.
Speaking of great guys, we talked about Hugo Weaving taking up the role of Megatron, or at least the voice role of Megatron in the upcoming Transformers film, as well as Keith David from They Live taking up the voice of Barricade, the Decepticon in the upcoming Transformers film.
Right. I talked about a few DVD releases from last week of note. Happy Feet, the CGI animated dancing penguin funny little flickaroo,
right,
came out, as well as the Errol Flynn Signature Collection Series 2, or Volume 2, featuring five great films from the immortal Errol Flynn. You should check that out if you are at all a film fan.
Right.
And in my excitement over the Errol Flynn Volume 2, I forgot to mention that also coming out last week was Children of Men.
Yes.
Clive Barker, near future science fiction about no babies being able to be born. Yep. And it's got some buzz, and I'm excited about getting to see it. I didn't get to see it in the theater, but it is out on DVD now, so you should pick it up.
Excellent. Clive Barker or Owen?
What did I say? Did I say Clive Barker?
You threw Barker in there.
Oh, I meant Clive Owen.
Well, that's all right. Emma Watson will be reprising her role as Hermione Granger in the final two Harry Potter films, yet to begin filming, but I believe the sixth one begins filming later this year, shortly after the movie opens. So for those of you who didn't believe that she was going to do it or thought she might not do it, she will in fact be returning.
Oh, she's done it, my friend.
Well,
she's done it.
Christopher, thank God my father can write. Tolkien is re-digging up some scraps of paper, pieces of parchment and lint from around the old house, and is putting out The Children of Húrin, which will be the first Tolkien book in some years, and it will be the Cimmerillion version for dwarves. So Cimmerillion was to elves what The Children of Húrin is to dwarves.
That'll be very interesting.
Or not.
In our second segment tonight, we hit on a few recent incoming pieces.
We did.
We talked about Mephisto.
Uh-huh.
From Marvel Select.
And Diamond.
And Diamond. And these are figures that we feel Marvel Legends probably feels that they will never put out. So they are allowing Diamond under the Marvel Select title to put them out. Mephisto is one of those characters.
Right.
And he's great.
He
comes
is.
With
an
the
awesome
big
piece.
Throne, and he's an awesome piece. We also applaud the still swinging up against the ropes, now playing presents by Soda Toys, Land of the Dead. Three standout zombies from Land of the Dead include the characters The Butcher, Big Daddy, and Machete, as portrayed by Tom Savini. And they're awesome. I mean, compared to the now series, the now playing series that we now playing presents that we did last time,
right.
These are far and away better figures. So maybe Soda is back on track.
They have made great strides since
definitely,
those figures.
Definitely.
In the final segment of tonight's show, we talked about the 10 child actresses from the 80s who grew up to be hotties. And the surprise of the list
is that it made this show.
Jodie Sweetin from Full House. Stephanie Tanner.
I can't believe that we did that as a segment.
But it's going to lead to something in next week's show where we talk about the 10 current hottest actresses in the geek genre.
Okay, you versus me.
Okay.
With Mr. Impartial as the judge.
Right.
Right. We only have one more bit of business to take care of tonight.
And it's really sad. I'm depressed.
It is sad. It is 1 year that we've been doing the show, 52 episodes. And it's time for us to retire our former mascot.
For those of you who have been with us since the early days, our early con appearances where Mr. Fantastic was just a myth and could never make it with us, we used to travel with the stretchy Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four film, the first Fantastic Four film.
This is kind of like the Stretch Armstrong concept. And we colored in his gray hair so that he would look more like Fantastic.
It's true.
And we toted Little Fantastic around. Little Fantastic made a bunch of appearances on the show.
Sure, he signed a couple of autographs a couple of times.
Of course. And he was great, but he's fallen ill.
He has. In a freak accident in the studio.
Well, listen, let's not get ahead now. Let's also talk about the fact that he was poorly made to begin with. Okay. By Toy Biz. Well, Toy Biz decided that they were going to use the most natural product available.
Corn syrup.
Corn syrup.
Well, that's because that shit that was in Stretch Armstrong from when we were a kid, pretty positive causes deadly brain damage.
Yeah. Deadly. Mercury based.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, they used corn syrup, and unfortunately, the fact that they used a sort of a silicone stretchy cover over it kind of let the air get in there.
Just a little.
And Little Fantastic proceeded to get, shall we say, hard.
And rigid.
And rigid and...
stale.
Yes.
You know,
much like his large counterpart.
Similar to how, you know, when we need a refresher, perhaps we take a cold shower or go for a dip in the pool or perhaps have a relaxing day at the spa. Little Fantastic used to have a refresher in the microwave.
Right. Just pop him in for a few seconds, and he was soft and gooey again.
Aww.
Unfortunately, though, that would only work for so long, and he eventually, unfortunately, succumbed to the fact that he was made pretty much of rock candy.
And, the hardening.
The joke around the studio used to be you could take Fantastic and kind of snap his limbs, and they would make a delightful cracking sound. Can you still get a cracking?
Oh
my god.
Right, a delightful cracking sound out of his limbs. And when I was showing this to an in-studio guest a few weeks ago, I grabbed Little Fantastic by the arm, and I attempted to do the snap, to get the snap sound effect, and his arm snapped right off.
My favorite part is that in pure Kevin fashion, he sees somebody else doing it and says, "You're going to break it. Give me that." And then crack.
Yeah, the arm came right off. However, what we did find out that Little Fantastic's guts and innards, rather tasty.
Sweet.
Rather sweet.
Sweet.
He's like a little Fantastic candy dispenser.
Matt's tasting him right now.
This is going to be my sugary treat in the beginning of every episode.
You do not know where that stump has been.
Wow.
Yeah, we do. In the microwave. And tonight we're going to wave a fond farewell to Little Fantastic on our 1 year anniversary. And we're going to lay him to rest. We have picked out a little coffin for him. And we are going to lay Little Fantastic to rest tonight. So do you have any final words, Matt, about Little Fantastic?
You know what? It's the show's not going to be the same without you. You were a cornerstone in helping us get off the ground and interacting with the fans. And,
he's talking to the doll, by the way.
I'm going to miss you.
Give him a kiss.
Make sure that you're not licking his busted arm when you're sniffling, dude. I would like to say, of course, also Little Fantastic allowed us to appreciate the normal version of Mr. Fantastic because he was rigid and inflexible when he started, but then he got softer. So Little Fantastic was kind of like the opposite. Little Fantastic was soft and pliable when he began and then became rigid. And that was the opposite of course, our own Mr. Fantastic.
I'm molding a new arm out of
it. Dude, that's gross.
He's stretching it. It's going to look like Akira.
Fantastic.
Look, he's regenerating.
I know. It's disgusting. Fantastic. He looks like a lollipop.
Canada!
Fantastic, do you have any final words for Little Fantastic before we send him on his way?
Talking to your mic.
That's right. Talk into your mic. That was Little Fantastic's line. So that'll bring to a close year one
of
yes, year one of Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
This was 52, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't even go for the obvious.
What?
Doesn't DC have a title right now called 52?
Yeah, so what are we going to... What, how would you like us to have tied that in?
I have no clue. You're the one who reads comic books.
Yeah. No, I'm the one that buys comic books. You read comic books. You just steal them off the internet.
Hey,
steal is a
mic.
Very harsh word.
Crook.
And on that note, we cue the music.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
We've only begun
before the rising sun. Just begun.